The Everhart Museum in Scranton has assembled a panel of regional experts to discuss the current exhibition of paintings by northeastern Pennsylvania native John Willard Rought. That panel discussion will take place tomorrow evening at the museum in Naog Park. It's in connection with a show titled Some Enchanted Land, the paintings of John Willard Rought that will run at the Everhart through March 27th. Joanne Reif is an art historian and musicologist from Scranton who spent a good deal of time in two of the areas where Rought did his work, here in Lackawanna County and also along the Loing River in France. Dr. Reif spent time at the Everhart show recently and has these impressions.
John Willard Rought may be described as a quiet man, reserved in the way people were around 1900, but curious as well, and astoundingly gifted as an artist. He was a man who gained great satisfaction from painting and from writing, a generous artist who shares with us his love of the French landscape, his wonder at the coasts of Long Island and Maine, and his pride in a busy and beautiful Scranton. Rought, who descended from the first settlers of Dunmore, was born in the family homestead on North Blakely Street in September 1857. His long life encompassed the Civil War, World War I, the development of photography, the rise of Impressionist painting, and the burgeoning of Scranton into an industrial powerhouse. After studying in Paris and keeping a studio in New York, Rought eventually returned to live in the same Dunmore homestead. The house was not without its famous guests. Stephen Crane stayed there when he was writing his well-known article on coal mining for McClure's magazine. Rought, who never married, lived with his sister and her family and died at home in January of 1931. He is buried just across the street in the Dunmore Cemetery. The Everhart exhibition, Some Enchanted Landscape, presents Rought as an artist who was keenly aware of the strange position of Scranton, overlord of a valley replete with bustling and brutal industry, yet tempered by grassy spots and the full bloom of nature to be found just over the mountain's edge. Some Enchanted Landscape is a praise as well of Scranton in its 150th year, now able to put the gray landscapes of mines and breakers in historical perspective and embrace the green environs of the city. Rought's life was connected intrinsically with Scranton and the coal industry. At age 15, he took a job as a telegraph agent for a coal company to earn money to go to art school. As a young painter, he gained the support of coal-wealthy patrons of the arts in Scranton, and later in his career painted coal breakers, which he called the Black Castles of the Scranton landscape. Yet, Rought also represented the Scranton that enjoyed a connection to New York in commerce and the arts, that acted with the confidence of the era to journey abroad for the sake of study, and that cooled its energy in sojourns at the lakes and wooded spots outside the city. In 1880, at age 23, Rought finally set out for the National Academy of Design in New York. It had taken him 8 years of tapping a telegraph lever to earn the money to do so. We can imagine him leaving Scranton by train, as some of us remember doing, crossing from Hoboken to Manhattan by ferry, and finding his way to 23rd Street and 4th Avenue, now Park Avenue South, to the grand edifice modeled on the Doge's Palace in Venice that was the National Academy of Design. There, Rought studied drawing and painting and enriched his education further by taking the courses in ancient history, architecture, and mythology that the school offered. In his first year, Rought submitted a charcoal drawing of a bust of Ariadne and won first prize in the antique school, a golden indicator of his accomplishment and promise. In 1885, our Dunmorean, now 28, sailed for France, his destination the Académie Julien in Paris. There, Roth learned the new techniques of painting out of doors, in open landscape, in the fullness of light and color. In those glory days, Roth went to Normandy to sketch, to Giverny, for example, where he made the acquaintance of Monet. By the end of his studies, Roth earned the distinction of having a painting selected for the Gallery of Honor in the Paris Salon of 1889. In the Everhart exhibition, the museum displays a painting from its permanent collection, one of the Normandy paintings, titled Woman Carrying Sticks, dated 1890. Striking is the distinct horizon and the distinct patches of color, a green foreground, sandy middle ground, and blue background of a muted sky. Interesting is the way the woman who is walking to the side of a field is so much a part of the landscape as if she is emerging from it. The painter sympathizes with this country woman who is crossing a rocky field alone, and we are touched by the painting. Roth returned to his home country later in 1890 and, with a friend from the National Academy, opened a studio in New York. In his home city, he painted portraits of leading citizens to bolster his income. We see, for example, Andrew Casey, the founder of the Hotel Casey. Originally an immigrant from County Sligo in Ireland, Casey by this time had become a pillar of the community. Roth portrays a man of great dignity who exudes pride in his accomplishment and who is elegantly turned out in the latest frock coat and cravat of the day. Painting portraits helped Roth make contacts with the prominent citizens and patrons of the arts of our area. One such man was John M. Robertson of Moosic, who recognized Roth's immense talent and, along with three other benefactors, provided him with $5,000, raised mostly through commissions for a second trip to France. On that trip, from 1895 to 97, Roth spent time in Montigny-sur-Loing, a small town along the Loing River, southeast of Paris. With Grez-sur-Loing and Moret, it became a prominent haven for artists. Alfred Sisley lived near Moret-sur-Loing at the same time that Roth lived, only 4 miles away, in Montigny. Carl Larsson lived at the Swedish Artists' Colony in Grez in 1882, and there met the artist Karin Berger, who would become his wife. An American painter, Francis Brooks Chadwick, lived as an expatriate in Grez and welcomed Americans such as Roth to his home. Most remarkable to me is that our man Roth painted his early spring Montigny-sur-Loing in the same year, 1896, that Jelka Delius, painter and wife of the composer Frederick Delius, bought the house at Grez that she and her husband would occupy until 1936. In early spring, Montigny-sur-Loing, the river so gracefully rises from the lower left-hand corner of the picture diagonally toward the center to the right. A grassy river bank accompanies its course. The little town of Montigny can be seen upward toward the left, and the sky in its distant home. Of the paintings shown in the Everhart exhibition, this scene calls for the most varied details of landscape painting. The hillside village, the landmark church tower, the rise of the houses, up the main road from the low-roofed boat shacks common along the Loing. The water shimmers lightly, reflecting the faint gray, blue, and cream of the sky. The picture reminds us of how quickly clouds change, especially in early spring, when a patch of clear sky can mean warmth and a patch of clouds unfriendly cold. Warm and varied are the blues and greens of the grass along the riverbank, so close that the viewer can see each individual shade, then looking farther back into the picture cannot miss the contrast of the red roofs seen higgledy-piggledy over the old stone town. My memory of those gray, paintable old towns will never grow dim, Roth wrote in the Scranton Republican in January of 1930. Just a year before he died. Early spring, Montigny-sur-Loing, in the balance between the blue-gray of the river and the green-blue of the grass, of water, and of shore, in the quiet whimsy of the red roofs, evinces the refinement that we so love in French painting. It would seem that Rott retained the palette he developed in France and adapted it, even years later, to what he saw around him at home. Early springtime, painted in 1915, recalls the colors and measured tone of early spring Montigny-sur-Loing. The gray-blue of the sky and river now become the purplish-tinted gray-blue of the West Mountain. The lush green of the riverbank now is lightened to a delicate green. The red contrast of roof lines still exists. The gray of the old stone buildings now becomes the creamy white of painted wooden houses. Early springtime appears to have been painted in Naog Park. Indeed, a friend and I went looking for the spot when we left the Everhart. Rott is evidently standing or sitting at a rocky outcrop, which appears to the left in the picture, at the rise of a hill and facing the West Mountain. A path circles around to his right at a lower level. There are two young trees before him and the back of a large white house with red roof in the distance to the left. My friend and I are certain we found exactly the right spot. We even stood on the rocky outcrop. The two trees have grown and spread out. The lower path is still there, as is the house, which is now expanded. A very dear picture is Path in Dunmore, a May Day, from 1921. Rott depicts his niece Helen, about 12 years old, walking down a brick path in a garden, possibly behind the family home. The young lady is dressed in her Sunday best, a white cotton lawn dress with a little jacket embroidered in a plain lace, white knee socks, and black Mary Janes, and she is carrying a bunch of flowers. The tree her uncle paints behind her shelters her from the sun but allows gentle light through its branches. The green hedges alongside the path, finished with hints of pink and red buds, create a safe and beautiful place for this little girl, whom the artist must have loved very much. A painting from about the same time, Ridge Row, conveys a similar feeling of a happy and satisfied life. Toward the right, we see the townhouses of Ridge Row in their heyday, a woman walking down the street carrying a baby, and an automobile parked in the shade of a tree at the curb. All is painted in airy, rich, purplish blues. To the left, Central City lies before us. The old Spruce Street Bridge, the Lackawanna Station, and down on the level where the tracks still lie, a train is stopped at a semaphore, waiting for another train to proceed. We have returned to the industrial Scranton and finished this report with the Continental Breaker, 1911. The breaker that can be seen at McDade Park in West Scranton. In this painting, gone is the joy of color, the balanced space, and the human scale. All is charcoal black and gray. The space smothered, the shape a giant rising out of the earth. With great perspicacity, Rott writes movingly about both the grandeur of the coal breakers and the suffering they signified. At evening, when twilight throws its enchantment over the face of nature, I have often seen the breakers transformed into exquisite poems of black and gray. Or, if set to music, they would echo some of the grandest strains in the Wagner operas. Yet Rott goes on to say that he has heard it said that a person could walk from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre through a labyrinth of tunnels, surpassing any of the catacombs of the old world. They were, he remarked, a page out of Dante's Inferno. Leaving the Everhart on a sunny afternoon, I was startled when I gazed out from the steps. I was looking at the landscape I had just seen indoors. Our quiet Mr. Rott, who had been my genial companion for the afternoon, had worked his magic and opened my eyes to the enchanted landscape I had never noticed before.
Dr. Joanne Reif, an art historian and musicologist from Scranton, with reflections on the paintings of northeastern Pennsylvania native John Willard Rought in connection with the current exhibition Some Enchanted Land, on view at the Everhart Museum in Scranton through March 27th. There will be a special panel discussion on Rought's works and today's environmental movement, and that's tomorrow evening at 6 at the museum. The featured panelists are Natalie Gelb, Executive Director of the Lackawanna Heritage Valley Authority, Maureen McGuigan, Deputy Director for the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Department, Bernie McGurl, Executive Director of the Lackawanna River Conservation Association, and Richard Stanislaus, former curator at the Pennsylvania Anthracite Heritage Museum and Eckley Miners Village. That's a panel discussion tomorrow evening at 6 at the Everhart Museum, Naog Park in Scranton, in connection with the current exhibition, Some Enchanted Land, the paintings of John Willard Rought, running now through March 27th. For more information on the web, everhart-museum.org, everhart-museum.org, and Everhart is spelled Everhart, everhart-museum.org.